We preached a lot together. He's been in service with me, and I've been in service with him. And we've watched our children grow up together. We've enjoyed some wonderful, wonderful times in the kingdom of God. He preached a message some years back here. I'm not sure just exactly when it was, but it was a very powerful message. And I have said to him some time back, Brother Lonnie, I wish you would pray if God would allow you to preach that sermon again. It's on the moral compass. This is an hour when we need to be sure that we have a moral compass. We need it more than ever. Would you please make welcome Brother Lonnie Burks as he comes to preach.
Good morning, and I greet you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. I have been blessed by being in the house of God today. Brother Bill, that's tremendous preaching, brother. Thank you for standing in the Bible. Thank you for building your message out of the Word of God. Amen. I just appreciate that so much. I have enjoyed the preaching. It's been tremendous in this meeting. You need to get the CDs and listen to the preaching that's gone on. It's been tremendous. Brother Derek just outdid himself Sunday morning. God come by for me and touch me. I like those times. I need a good washing in the Word quite often, don't you? And then Brother Mike, in a typical Mike fashion, just drew such a word picture of Jesus. And I want to tell you, and I don't want to get in trouble, but man's born of a woman, a few days full of trouble. Amen. I want to tell you what I thought about as I sat and heard Brother Mike. I really wish we had a preacher boy school. And I got one of my young preachers from our church. Brother Charles, stand up for a moment. You don't have to sing, muscle up, or anything. And just, he's been called to preach the last few months. We got a 15-year-old boy called to preach. And he'll amaze you. And I just sat last night wishing, boy, I wish we had a preacher school that could just sit under the kind of teaching that Brother Mike was giving last night and preach it. What a difference Brother Derek could make in their lives to get a foundation like that. And I tell you, it ought to be something you ought to pray about. I'm not talking to college. I'm talking about a preacher's school to get men deep in the Word and such as that. So needful. So needful today. 33 years ago was the first time to stand in this pulpit at Grace Free Will Baptist. It was a cold winter day. Brother Bob had had surgery, and us area pastors filled in and helped him in his churches at that time. A lot of time's gone by, and I'll be honest with you, I've got some of the dearest friends on earth here today from all over. Thank God for you. I call her Granny Joyce. You come through that door and broke my heart to see you and Brother Jack coming through to be in service with us one more time. And I got to visit just a moment. And I'm going to follow the block of that guy. Hopefully get in the open field to run in a minute. I've never been, Brother Mike, this homesick before. And when you begin to harness me up, I just was thinking, what an honor that that man of God would just prepare me for the pulpit. And I begin to think in that instance of time, someday I want to stand before the King of Kings. I'd like for him to take a soul winner's crown, place it on my head, and say, you were faithful. That'll be enough. Amen. I'm so moved. I'm so blessed today to be here. I'm not a young man now. I was giving you the ages. I realize that the old must give place to the young. It's a fact of nature. And this may be my last trip through for me. Some of you I may never see again till we're standing on the other side. And so I'm humbled, and I want to do good. I want to ask you to stand now and take the word of God, if you will, please, to Matthew chapter 15. And I'll begin at verse 1 and read down through verse 14. I have prayerfully considered the request of Brother Mike, and I'm not preaching this for Brother Mike Hutzel, but I'm preaching this because of the urgency of the hour and the need of the hour. And I believe that you will see that God has put the messages this morning together, and the emphasis will be largely upon the same thing. I know he's got his style, his size. I've got my style and my size. Now, I'm just wanting to get in the open field off of his block and preach what's on my heart. Matthew chapter 15, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not going to get there, say go on. Okay? Verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress, catch this, the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" Mark that. "For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it's a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made," catch this, "the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. You hypocrites." You think I'm a hard preacher? Listen to the master preacher. He's facing folks and said, "You hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." And he called the multitude and said unto them, "Hear and understand." Brother Craig Lyons, pray for the anointing of heaven now. Oh, Lord. Oh, my God. Lord. Thank you, Brother Craig. After having a Bible class with the young preachers in my church many years ago, New Testament survey, trying to get them a basis in the Word of God. I started home. We lived at Logap then. Logap is way back from where you are, back in the hills. And I just happened to bring a couple of my coon dogs with me. I don't play golf. I like to hunt. And I put Buck and Gator in the dog box. After the preacher's meeting and the teaching, it's my time. It's late at night. And I drove out to the park and dirt roads. Now, this is all legal, you game wardens that are with us and such. In Arkansas, this is okay. And I found me a dirt road. And I reached behind the seat, pulled my coveralls on over my dress coat, put my boots on, and dropped the end gate and opened the box. And they knew what to do. They took down the road in front of me. We call it in Arkansas language, roading. You got to be from Arkansas to say that, right? Or Louisiana. They's roading. And I'm following along in the pickup, watching them. And all at once, I recognized Gator throwed that head in there, Elvis Doyle, and off the road he went, and Buck with him. And a minute I heard that music start. Oh, 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 oh. They's treed. I reached behind the seat and got my nightlight and put it on. Got the compass. I looked at that compass, and I established north right quick. Then I, of course, got my gun, and I started, Brother Craig, down this big holler, spring-fed, running out of it, and started to Buck and Gator. And I mean, they're walkers, they're standing on the tree, they're chopping. They got a coon, and I'm going to them, and something happened. It either jumped out before I got there, or there was two of them, and they took the other one on. I got down there in the woods, and they took it a good ways, and I thought, I'll go back to the truck. Now, there's just something about in the dark. If you circle a time or two, it just got a way of mixing your mind up of which direction you need to be going. And I started back to that little truck on that curve. I missed that. And I got lost. So what do you do? And do you know what? That compass lied to me. I said in my mind, there's no way that's north. Jack Gibson, that thing is messed up. So I proceeded to go my way. And I walked and walked and walked and walked. And pretty soon I thought, I'm lost. Oh, I want to tell you, I don't care how old you are, it's a horrible feeling to be lost.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah. That thing's still lying to me. North is not that way. It's got to be this way. And I walked and I walked and I walked. And I finally came to this field. And I thought, there's got to be a road that got to that field. Well, there'd never been a field there. So I did what I ought to have done. I circled the field, and there I found it, just a little narrow path. And I walked and walked, and I finally saw a light. I'm going to tell you, if you're lost today, go to the light. Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And as I walked up close to this yard, I thought, now, how am I going to do this? You know, Derek, people just don't take lightly somebody banging on their door with a gun and a nightlight on. And so I found me a big oak tree and hid my gun behind it, knocked on the door, and a good old country boy come to the door and said, what can I do for you? I said, fella, I'm lost. And, oh, I just got to say, Pastor, thank God when I was lost, somebody knew where I was at and knew what I needed to do. And this old boy didn't say, that's tough, said, where you at? I said, my truck's parked somewhere on a curve. We crossed a little spring-fed creek. And he said, I know right where it is. I'm going to work and working on a night shift at Tyson's in Green Forest. I'll take you to your truck. I'm glad that morning that old Tom Bashir opened the old book. It was a compass. And said, I know the way home, boy. You come on with me, I'll take you home. And I followed him. And this guy drove me back to my truck. But I learned some lessons that I want to share with you this morning that you ought to try to keep in your mind and remember. Number one, I had the truth, but I wouldn't believe it. Do you know that compass was just exactly right? It was me that was wrong. But when you get lost, you get mixed up. And you'll think right's wrong and wrong's right. I had the truth, but I literally wouldn't believe it. Millions of people are on a path today that don't realize that they're on a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends are the way of death. And when I got really lost, Brother Mike, do you know what? I got so confused that wrong seemed right, and right seemed wrong. Anybody seen that merging in America lately? Yeah. Literally, what was right seemed wrong to me, and what was wrong seemed right all at once. And I'll tell you, the book said in Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And let me tell you something else, Ellis Doyle, that I found out. When you really get lost, you don't get anywhere. You invariably will start going in a circle. And we've learned something from history in America that we don't learn anything from history. We turn around and repeat it. So did the Israelites. Study their cycles. I'm standing before you today to declare our country has lost its moral compass. Did you notice that now they're accepting sin and calling righteous troublemakers? Have you noticed the godly being punished and the ungodly being praised? Have you noticed families are criticized and abortion is praised? What's wrong, preacher? We're now calling we who fight alcohol narrow and calling alcohol economic boosters. Who's benefiting this society? The drunkard or the godly man? Today we're mocking the chaste, pure, the virgin, the discipline as unlearned, unfulfilled, and just kill joys. Oh, but the compass said, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Our country needs direction. We're facing a dilemma. Just like in Scripture, Brother Bill, we're living by public opinion, the tradition of men, rather than the Word of God. People say morals don't matter, just the economy. And that is the horriblest statement, Jerry Natalie, I ever heard a Christian make. It's the economy that matters. From a Christian? God help. Somebody needs an altar. For you see, tradition is just a belief and teaching and opinion of men. But when you have blind leading the blind, I promise you, you're going to the ditch. You cannot guide without a direction or a destination. Compass is just a simple little instrument. Consists of a needle. It points to the north magnetic pole. Now you listen. A compass is unaffected by darkness, terrain, storms, or distance. What are you saying? Doesn't matter what the direction the world's going. North, still north. And the book still the compass, and it's right. Literally, I've got two compasses in my hand. One in the physical sense for this earth. And let me just take the liberty that Brother Bill did. I'd like for a man to be courageous in the pulpit, and it doesn't matter if you believe like he does or not. It don't matter if you believe like I do. If you want to be wrong, go ahead. Bible readers, and Brother Mike, check me out on this. When I read Revelation, Daniel, prophetic books, and see the chaos that's happened on the earth, I wonder, could it be, Craig Valines, and I want you to take that home with you and call me back. Could it be the magnetic pole is withdrawn from humanity? Hey, listen. The reason, Brother Kenny, that America is in such a confused state is because they have withdrawn from God's compass. And literally, we have seen fulfillment of Scripture. Johnny Creekmore, you're listening. The time has come that people will kill you and think they're doing God's service. Now that's not talking about Jesus Christ. That's talking about Allah. And we're seeing that. They think they're doing their God a service. You talk about we've got a long ways from the compass. Somebody better dig the old compass out. We want to get home before dark. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Thank God there's still a drawing. Thank God. God, there's still something that points people right. Three Sundays ago, met a woman that had backslid. I appreciate you using the word, Brother Bill. People are doing it. Her and her husband hadn't been in church in years. The Holy Spirit began to move in the service. Soon as I started the invitation, she got up crying. And her husband come crying. Two Sundays later, they bought their grandson. Brother Ellis, that little guy, about probably 12 years old, started crying when the singing started. Cried all the way through the preaching. Cried all the way to the altar. Somebody told me, Brother Lonnie, he's still crying when he went to the car. There was something pulling Jerry on that kid's heart. Thank God. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, just like the magnetic pole turns that, he still would draw men. It is a moral compass. Our country needs direction. Let me tell you something. The Bible is the astonishment of the literary world. It's alive, but it never grows. It reached maturity at conception and has continued a changeless challenge to each age. It's like the old compass. North still north with it. No matter which direction you're going, north still north. I want to submit to you, first of all, and this must be reestablished, the Bible, the book of God, is still the authority. We Free Will Baptists for a long time have said in our treaties that the Bible, the Word of God, is our rule of faith and practice. John Creekmore, we had a ruler when we went to school by the name of Silas E. Brewer. A ruler? Yes, sir. Your life is to be governed by the Word of God, and so is the church. It's still the marching order for the Christian. I'm just amazed that throughout the Word of God, of the many times that whatever he saith, do it, appears. You ever notice that observe to do? I had to read it again this morning. Deuteronomy 6, when you come into that new land that I give you, what does he emphasize? Keep the word that I've given you. Do you know what the difference in America is in third world countries? Our forefathers built the country on what? Thus said God. And they had a moral compass in their heart. They didn't have to have amendment after amendment after amendment and agency after agency to enforce it. Because men had something in their heart. Now, they had a moral compass. Derek Stinnett. I was raised around men that were lost, that had good morals as church people. That's right. Because they'd been raised with a moral compass in their life. And they knew right from wrong. And even though they weren't saved, they still knew what right was. And largely, they stood for right. I want to tell you that we need to remember that this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Keep my commandments, he said, that you may have right to the tree of life. Blessed is he that readeth and heareth the words of this prophecy and keepeth those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. I'm amazed at the gall of people. I'll illustrate. Discussion going on in the church. A lady evidently had brought up a subject. Pastor set them right on what the Word said. This is what she said. And I've seen this attitude. I don't care what the Word of God says. I'm going to do what I want to do. Mister, we're going to the ditch and we're in trouble. When you see that attitude, doesn't matter what God said. We're going to do what I want. You got trouble on your horizon, my friend. We have gotten away from the Word of God being the authority. And when the word of Dr. So-and-so or Brother so-and-so or Sister so-and-so supersedes the Word of God, we're facing the dark ages again. I want to tell you about the compass, though. It's an inspired compass. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the men of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let me tell you that this book is an indestructible book. Centuries, they've tried to tear the book down. The Bible has always survived the attack, though. Look at 2 Kings 21. King Manasseh, a wicked king, promoted adultery in Judah. He went so far as to sacrifice children to Moloch. Obviously, he destroyed every one of the Word of God, because when Josiah, 70 years later, found a copy, or rather, through his command, Hilkiah down to Shaphan to the king, found a copy of the Word of God, a great revival broke out. Manasseh thought to destroy the Word of God, but instead the Word outlived him. Jeremiah in chapter 36 recorded King Jehoiakim taking the Bible, commanding his servant to cut it in pieces and to burn it in the fire. And he sought to destroy the Word of God, but the Word of God outlived him. In 166 B.C., a Syrian by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes desecrated the Jewish temple, offered a hog on the altar, and destroyed every word of God he could find. He had people killed on the spot who even possessed a copy of the Word of God. 3 years later, he died, and the Word lived on. In AD 303, the Roman Emperor Diocletian order that every Bible in the world should be destroyed, and every Christian who possessed a Bible should be killed. Large numbers of Bibles were burned. Thousands of Christians were martyred. A few years later, Diocletian committed a suicide, but the Word lived on. The Bible has survived atheists. Voltaire, an infidel living in the 1700s, he died in 1788. He predicted, Craig the Lion, 100 years from this day, you'll not find a Bible in the land unless it just be an antique hunter. You know what's amazing? You listening? 100 years from the time he made his prediction, his first book sold in Paris for 11 cents. On the same day, the British government paid a Tsar of Russia $500,000 for a copy of the Word of God. What's really unique about this, the American society used Voltaire's house for a Bible warehouse. Whoa, glory! The book lives on. The book lives on. Last eve, I paused beside the blacksmith's door and heard the anvil ring the vesper chime. And looking in, I saw upon the floor old hammers worn with beating years of time. How many old anvils have you had, said I, to wear and batter all of those hammers so? soul. Just one, said he, with a twinkling eye. The anvil wears the hammers out, you know. And so a thought, the anvil of God's word, for ages skeptics' blows have beat upon it. Yet through the noise of falling blows was heard, the anvil is unharmed and the hammers are gone. Everybody holler hallelujah. Thank God, it's an indestructible book. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Forever thy word is settled in where? Heaven. Secondly, it's an inspired compass. What are you saying, preacher? It's God breathed. Remember, all scripture from 2 Timothy 3:16 are given by inspiration of God. Let me tie something else, stretch your mind again. Genesis 1:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Notice the breath. This book is alive. It's got the breath of God upon it. That's why it breathes life from anywhere. You know, I really believe you can get saved from any verse in this Bible. Years ago, I had two or three saved preaching on sanctification. And they come got saved. Home broke up, whatnot. How come? What is you? No, wasn't me. That book is God breathed. It's inspired. I like what the little fellow said. I know that book's inspired because it inspires me. It tells you something. It's alive because it has the breath of God. And the same breath that stirred Adam to life stirred within this book and yet breathes life into all that'll accept it. I'm telling you, those that sat in the shadows have seen great light. Giving of the Savior and giving of the Scriptures is both conceived of the Holy Ghost. If you put the two and two together, and while I'm there, the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, a virgin, and she conceived of the Holy Ghost, had a child, and was still a virgin. World said it's impossible. It is with man, but not with God. God had only one son too, Brother Allen. And in his veins coursed the very blood of Almighty God. He's different than Adam. He's the last Adam. That last Adam was different. He had a different father in one sense, didn't he? In his veins is the blood of Almighty God. That's why it's divine blood. Come on. It's divine blood, I said. I don't care where you went to school. It's divine blood. I don't care who your hero is. It's divine. It's God breathed. It's the blood of God. So I don't like you, preacher. I'm not sure I like you either, so don't come around me after church. No, I'm joking. I don't mean to be a smart aleck. Brother Anderson, I've got a camaraderie with anybody that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. I've got friendship immediately when you believe that's the book of God, that old King James. We're on the same page when you believe that blood's divine. Amen. Yeah. Some of you know what I'm talking about. We've argued over the tradition of men. Let people go to hell. God has only one Bible too. And it's the everlasting word. It's divine. Both are God's gifts to man. Thus you have a moral compass. Now let me come to this. You listen, Granny Joyce? Though the cover is worn,
and the pages are torn, and places bear traces of tears. Yet more precious than gold is this old book that's worn and on. Thank God for the old book.
Amen.
By the way, where's yours at? I think it's in a work truck. Sadly, it ought to be in your heart and in your hand. Deuteronomy 6 said, and though the covers be worn and the pages torn, yet more precious than gold is this old book worn and old. This old book is my guide, my compass. It's a friend by my side. And each page that I read moves and gladdens my mind as I read it and heed it each day. I know we give Bibles and we buy nice Bibles and we like to preach out of nice Bibles. You show me that old Bible so dear your heart and I'll pretty well be able to estimate your spiritual life real quickly. And Brother Hillis, we're old men now. John, don't you love to preach those funerals? You love to preach funerals? Understand me, where they lay in a worn out Bible on their hands. That's marked, torn, tear splattered. Yeah, it's an inspired book, preacher. And just something about that. If you don't think it's inspired, Charles, you go down to the parts store tomorrow and all those mechanics around there looking for an answer and quote scripture and notice how quick you'll turn their heads. Yeah. You just post the pure word of God and see how many folks have come. It's inspired. It's inspired. You've heard me tell this, but I believe I'll tell it again today. Connie had a grandpa that I loved so very much. He called me son too. And I loved grandpa. He was one of those old time Christians. Wasn't a preacher. Sat on the second pew and helped you preach, Derek. Because he'd sit there and just cry like a baby. Soak it up and stay with you and love that old book. Grandpa, when he come to die, he said something. Aunt Dorothy leaned over him to see what her daddy said. And he told her something to tell Granny. And quoted a verse of scripture. Closed his eyes. And went home to heaven. Amen. That old book still inspired him. He's standing on the banks of the river. Found a place to cross, Craig. And what carried him across? The power of that word. A Jewish doctor starved to death in the days of the Holocaust. They found his bones in a hole. They found his diary. He said, had not it been for the presence of God, these days would have been unbearable. Do you know what brings the presence of God? The inspired word. The inspired word. It's indestructible, it's inspired, and I come to the last point of my message this morning. It's an instructional compass. Remember, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Profitable for what, Alan? Doctrine! Bill Caesar, why are we so scared of doctrine today? I'll tell you why. It's called us a shell in the word. A lot of times. And then there's been so much nonsense that was taught for commandments of God was nothing but the tradition of men. And we think doctrine's going to be important. But let me tell you, compass, it's not but for display, but it's for direction. Doctrine gives instruction. Why is doctrine
so important, because there is no authority unless you have the inspired word, the doctrine of the Word of God. Situational ethics is a doctrine of men. Teach what is wrong or right is determined by the situation rather than by the Bible. But teach that it might be right at certain times to do wrong. But the compass says this is right. And this is what the Christian ought to do. Secular humanism and evolution has been taught for over 50 years in the public school system. They teach that men ought to act moral, but there are times it might be right to act like an animal. Why has our country gone crazy? They have no absolutes. They have no doctrine that comes from the instructional compass. Where are we at in this country? 44 years of murdering babies. Obviously without the compass. Because the compass said, thou shalt not kill. We mixed up as the termite and the yo-yo. When you don't have the moral compass, every man does that which is right in his own eyes, and you have chaos. It's now right to keep God, the Bible, and the prayer out of school. How many of you have seen the academic schedules and saw the decline when the Word of God and the Bible was took out of our country? We have been dumbed down so much now that you have to decide whether you're a boy or a girl. Buddy, let me tell you. I got a rooster at home that knows immediately whether it's another rooster or it's a hen. Amen. He doesn't have anybody's diploma either. And he's got an attitude, I do the crowing around here. You throw out a new hen in the chicken yard, and that guy'll either, or he'll drop that wing and do his strut and dance around his new hen. I've got squirrel dogs, Craig Blind's my backyard, that know immediately whether a dog is a male or a female. But here we got folks with PhDs, don't know what they are. How come? What happened? We lost. Let me borrow your Bible. We lost the compass in the beginning. God made man. Told him Adam, made Eve. Named them. But since we don't have the moral compass, we don't even know what we are. I got a wonderful wife. I had a wonderful mother, a wonderful granny, all three of them godly people. I got a mother-in-law, beautiful, wonderful Christian, have people brag on her all the time. And I thank God for them. But John Oger, I've never in one day in my life wanted to be a woman. I tell you, if you'd been on some of the jobs I've been on, Brother Dick, in life, you wouldn't want to be a man if you're a woman either.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. God made us different.
Yes, sir.
For a purpose.
Yes, sir.
But Satan's got an agenda in every one of these things that it is to destroy the creation of God, destroy God's plan and everything. And now here we are, wandering in the dark. And we don't know where we're at or where we're going. Where are we going? We're quickly headed to where senior citizens and handicapped citizens no longer contribute to our society, so they must be annihilated. We're headed very quickly that we're going to be jailed and maybe executed for preaching like I preached this morning and Brother Bill preached. We have leadership that's doing everything they can to give away our sovereignty as a nation and become part of the world government. But I want to tell this crowd, right is never wrong. Wrong is never right. Left is not right. Right is not left. Up is not down, and down is not up. Off is never on. Things that are different are not the same. We got some absolute. Compass is the absolute. I got to throw this in. I just feel impressed. General Booth, the foundation of the Salvation Army, said this. He feared the day when the Salvation Army would have salvation without regeneration. That they would have faith without repentance. And they'd have a heaven without hell. The church has accepted those doctrines today. But a Bible reading people will never be enslaved. So keep your compass before you. Take you back a coon hunting. My daddy. I love my daddy. I'm homesick for heaven this morning, Mike. Call me baby, whatever you want to. I want to see mom and dad. Some of them old soldiers of the cross. Church folks. Family that's on the other side. Don't you threaten me with heaven, buddy. Dad got up in years. He was a remarkable little man, stout, littler than high, but oh, he was so stout. Worked so hard, trained dogs, horses, cut timber. He's just a man's man, Craig Flight. And Derek, it meant something to Daddy to go, me come and get him and take him coon hunting and take his grandson. And boy, Aaron could climb just like Dad could and jump a coon out. And boy, Dad just thought that was wonderful. We went a coon hunting one night, and the dogs treed down a big old rough holler. Now, we got some hollers in Arkansas that you stand flat-footed at the base of them and kiss the ground in front of you. They're easy to go down, just miss a step. You'll be at the bottom a little while if a tree don't catch you. And Sally treed way down in the holler. I knew Dad was failing a little bit, and I said, Dad, stay here at the truck. I'll go get the coon, and I'll bring Sally out. And Dad said this, okay, son, I'll stay here and I'll, now this way we're talking Arkansas, I'll holler you out of the holler. There's a difference in hollers. Now, you understand that? And I got down there. Sally had a big coon treat. I shot the coon. Sorry, you friends of animals society that are here today. Got the coon, and I knew to get Sally on the leash and we'd go hunting further. And I started up that old hill. Craig, it's a dark old night. You say what you want to. You can get lost in Beechwood, buddy. And I kept climbing. But Kenny, I got to think, am I going right? Because see, when you get circling that tree, looking for that coon's eyes up there, you get some, which way did I come in here?
Yeah. Sure.
I kept climbing. I was sure I was going the right way. As I got higher, I began to see a light flicker. And I heard a voice at the other end that I recognized.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Great. Yeah.
Great. Let me tell you, I'm still listening to a voice.
Hey, buddy.
I'm still following the light.
Hey, buddy.
there was an old man called Dad waiting there for me. I got somebody on the other end. Very extended, but the night's dark. All I got to do is listen. I know that voice, don't you?
Yeah.
And that light's not like anybody else's light. It's a heavenly light. And it just keeps guiding me on. Sister Donna, we're not far. You told me you and Brother Ellis have got to go lay another dear sister that I've known since I was a teenager in the grave. Granny Joseph may never see you. No, Brother Jack again. Just walk in the light, Jack. It'll be all right. Listen to the voice. When you get there, turn around and look for that little hillbilly preacher from Arkansas. I'm going to walk in the same light and listen to the same voice. And we'll meet on the other side. Thank God for a compass that is indeed indestructible. Inspired and directional. Quit judging it. Hello? You still home? But Mike, don't you get tired of people hear a message and they want to judge what you preach? Judge the Word of God. Come on, listen to me. God said it, buddy. Me and you not got no voting rights. We just need to line up and do it. Now, Lewis wasn't very big. My daddy, you didn't question him, Craig, for lines on his decisions and what he said. He might say, didn't you hear me, boy? Do I need to help you understand that a little better? And you said, no, sir, I got her just right. Quit judging the Word. It's time that we said, whatsoever the Lord said, so will we do. Oh, but I just don't see it that way. God don't care how you see it. When he said it, he just wants you to line up and do it. Thank you. Been good to see you one more time. This don't happen again. I'll be waiting by the river for you. Come ahead, Brother Matt.